You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
He says, I can't sleep at night knowing that kids are being shot on the streets. Not only that, kids that are arrested are being molested in the prisons. So I'm going to solve that problem and come over to the Philippines.
So there was a despot in charge at that time, a dictator. Is he still dictating there now or no?
No. His daughter is now the vice president of the country.
Mm.
However, in the case of our friend in Scotland, he ended up dying in a couple of years later. And so we're like, okay, he came to the Philippines to help us start a corporation for an orphanage to help these kids in a safe house. And then he leaves and goes to heaven. What are we going to do? So we renewed that corporation every year, and then somebody contacted me from Mexico. And he said, I can't sleep at night. I keep thinking about these kids getting hurt in the Philippines. I had Googled to find out if there's any ministries that work with poor street kids, and you popped up. If I gave you $30,000, would you start an orphanage? Suddenly, God's speaking through my wallet.
Now, what is it? Now, $30,000, though, is a lot more in the Philippines than it is here, right?
Oh, yeah.
What is it the equivalent of?
$30,000. Oh, you mean in pesos?
No, well, in American dollars, what is that worth?
1.5 million pesos is $30,000. No. So we were able to buy a five-acre property.
Without a building?
Without a building. He gave us another $30,000 for that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And this guy's from Mexico.
Well, he's from California. He married a Mexican, and he lives down in Mexico.
Wow. So this affluent guy just Googles, and there you pop up. You never know.
It's a God thing.
You know, I've heard stories of that when there were orphanages. I guess orphanages are very, you know, God says he's the father to the orphan.
Right.
And this is where I have to step in and say, my father was killed the day before my fifth birthday in a car accident. Wow. And I have to say this, my life hasn't been perfect, but he took a poor street boy, and he touched my life. But everything I have has come, everything I've had has come from him, and so he is faithful. Because of course he says, "Bring me to remembrance of my words," and I said, "You said you're the father to the orphan." He goes, "Oy vey, there he goes again. Now I'm gonna have to bless him again. Oy vey." He also promised me you're my inheritance. So, Dad.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So, yeah. Hallelujah and all that stuff. But anyway, so what were we talking about there? Orphans. So God seems to be touched by orphan things, because I remember reading stories when I was younger of, you know, back in the 1900s, this guy has an orphanage. They don't have any milk for babies. They don't have any eggs. They just said, we're going to pray. And then ding dong, the doorbell rings, or someone's knocking at the door. He's in, the doorbell's in, and said, I don't know why, but the Lord told me to bring over here, you know, 60 dozen eggs from my farm and milk. And they lived by faith.
Right. Amen.
Which is really a great thing to do.
Yeah.
When I used to sing in churches, I would, you know, and that's why I didn't do it, because one day I'd get $64 from one church and I'd get $1,600 from another church, and I couldn't even afford insurance. But I remember I'd pop into a town like Florence, South Carolina, and I'd sing at this little church, and then some lady would come up and say, oh, by the way, do you have any dry cleaning that needs to be done? Because I own a dry cleaners, and we'd like to give that to you as a gift. I go, yeah, I got 5 months of dirty clothes in the back of my van, lady. Thank you very much. But things like that happen. I'm sure it does with you.
Yeah.
As
you know,
many of the children of God
live
by the Spirit
of God. The idea that you
sang
in churches, that very topic is what PJ and Abby sang about just a few days ago at the Fort Pierce Church. They sang about how we are the hands and feet of Christ. If you'd like, they can sing it here, but I don't know if they have a background music with them.
We absolutely could. But overall, this is a lot of information we're throwing at you and at all our listeners here. We have 30 churches, a school in the Philippines, an orphanage. What does that all mean?
Yeah.
And me,
I'm in a hurricane of information here.
Here comes
the tornado.
Believe me, we're used to it. Abby and I, as the missionary kids, we want to speak out to all the missionary kids who are listening.
Brothers, sisters?
Yes, we are.
And who's the other human being back there?
That's my pretty lady over there.
Oh, that's your wife?
Not yet.
Okay. Did I hear yet?
But what we do when we go around, we want to tell people that you can't ride off of your parents' faith. You have to make it your own.
God has no grandchildren.
Absolutely. And so we each as believers, we have to make sure we have a one-on-one relationship with Christ. And realizing that we capture the vision that mom and dad have. We grew up with in the ministry. We grew up with the kids who go to this school for poor kids. And I've gone to their homes, and these are like bamboo homes on stilts in the on the beach. And these are like way below the poverty line. And yet they're some of my best friends because I realize that God sees them as just as worthy as the people in these mansions here in Florida.
Well, you have to remember when Jesus was coming, that the angels could have gone to the king. They could have gone to some big shots. Instead, they take the lowliest job, which is
carpenter.
No, they're working out in the field.
He's going
to reveal who they are to the who's out in the field working. The shepherds,
right?
Okay, so he's out in the field working with the shepherds, and these angels reveal the fact that God has come in person. Emmanuel is with us.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what it's God's heart's with the poor. I don't know. Man, the things that man holds in high esteem, God has a disregard for, like the fame of man. It's fleeting.
It is.
I don't care how famous you get, how rich you get, it's all going to be gone.
That's true. That's true. You know, and it's in Isaiah 52, verse 7, it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news.
Yeah.
The good news that Jesus brought is not just about heaven. It's also that he wants to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And the way that we, and the last shall be first, we're bringing, Jesus reached out to the impoverished, to the people that the world would look over. And that's what we're doing, and that's what we're supposed to do. And we're trying to encourage people, like, even if you don't, like, donate a cent to our ministry, as long as you are missionaries to your hometown, and you are missionaries to Vero Beach, and missionaries to your neighbors and the people at the grocery store, tell people about Christ. It doesn't matter if you're across the street or around the world.
Well, he says, if you deny me before a man, one day I'll deny you before my Father. But he also said the world hates me because I show them, that I reveal to them that their deeds are evil. But he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. A lot of people misread that, too. It doesn't mean poor. But you can be poor in spirit if you're rich. You can be poor in spirit if you're poor, knowing that you're poor in spirit and have need of God. And that is the true riches. Then you can have these other things added unto you, and, you know, as long as you own them and they don't own you, right?
That's true. That's
but the fact that we be testimony no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. I mean, you've spoken to President Carter. Mm. You've spoken to President Ford.
Yeah.
You've spoken to Billy Graham.
Yes.
In the Bushes.
How do you know all this stuff? You must have been snipping around there on Google.
We really did
right
do
there.
A little bit of research on you. And we were quite impressed, but you know what? We also want to be effective in reaching a little Francis Marie, who's dying in the Philippines, and who we're helping out in our school, in the preschool, and somebody who just mills rice for a living, whose fishing village was just
God loves to hide stuff. I think it's in the book of Isaiah. He loves to hide stuff. That's why he says that he's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound those that are wise in their own eyes, including those in the church. You know, sometimes it's the least. I was just at a big meeting for a big event that's about to take place down in Fort Pierce. They're having some marina or on the water salvation thing. It's going to go on for like a week. And there was one little quiet man sitting over there in the corner. I happen to know him. He's small in stature. He's quiet. He's reflective. But when Barbara, my wife, had cancer, someone told me he had a gift of healing. And he came up from Fort Pierce. He his name is ironically Wrench, and he has a gift of healing. And he works on racing cars. So anyway, it's in the middle of a night. It's a dark, dark night. It's 6 p.m. But I mean, it's in the middle of the winter. It's in the middle. We're in a dark tunnel. Three cancers she had, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's cancer free today, by the way. Anyway, so he comes. She has spinal meningitis. Now they're saying. And I call her doctor, the oncologist. She says, well, you got to get her in the hospital ASAP or bring her to my office. I brought her to the hospital. And they put her on morphine. And, you know, this can be very dangerous, right? So I call this guy. He comes up from Fort Pierce. And he goes into the room, prays for her about 30 seconds. And then we leave. And he says, now listen, don't be asking God. He's healed her. He said, 95% of the prayers that are answered are believing God. 5% maybe, oh, please, 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 help, 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 please, please, please. No, you pray and you have faith. And he did. And she says, she's healed. And the next day, she would be sent home. But not only that, I lost my dad. Remember I told you that day before my fifth birthday? So he takes me down to the entranceway of the hospital. And I don't know, he says this, and I don't know if he's a gay guy or not. I don't know this guy. I'd never met him before. He says, the Lord is telling me to hug you like a father would. So he hugs me. And then for years, of course, I've contemplated that, realizing it could only be revealed by the Spirit of God that he doesn't know me from Adam, that I had no father growing up. And so that's kind of cool. And I ran into him the other day, but we're at this big meeting, and he's over in the corner. And all the big shot pastors are there, and evangelists, and all these missionaries, and you got musicians and all stuff. And he's just sitting there, and I felt like saying, you're missing. This is the guy right here. That's the guy. You know, I mean, but you'll find that God chooses the foolish things to confound those that are wise in their own eyes, you know?
We've worked with over 4,000 kids that have come through our school in the past 26 years.
4,000?
4,000.
Wow. And
they're paid for by people in the United States that pay $30 a month for her to be in the school. But
yeah, but it's you that brings them to Jesus.
Well, the Holy Spirit does. Many times I'll do a baptism in the ocean there in the Pacific Ocean, and I'll already have interviewed them ahead of time.
Yeah.
But I'll ask them in front of all the people along the shore, I said, when was it that you first understood that Jesus had died to pay for your sins personally for you and wanted to receive him? And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, it was in those discipleship meetings with your chaplains in your school.
Really?
They're like, this is more like a soul factory than a school for children.
Soul factory.
It's exciting to be on the receiving end of God's blessings in that way. People all over the world are praying for what we're doing overseas.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Abby likes to quote that if we knew that people weren't praying, we wouldn't go back.
Well, I'm attracted to your spirit because you have a gentle spirit. So written in the book of Samuel, thy gentleness hath made thee great. It's written in the book of Psalms, thy gentleness hath made thee great. And, of course, Paul taught that the spirit has a gentleness. And that doesn't always necessarily come. Some of us may be gentle inside, but we've had to fight getting through life. So we have a tough exterior like moi. But you exude a gentleness, which is really nice for children.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hey everybody, I'm Charlie Kirk. I'm excited to invite you to the Believers Summit in West Palm Beach, Florida this July 26, 27, 28. The summit is more than an event. It is a mission to empower Christians across America to stand courageously for truth. Join us for an inspiring lineup of speakers, including Jensen Franklin, Ali Stuckey, Frank Turek, John Amanchuku, and so much more. We'll provide you with the practical knowledge and strategies to boldly live your faith with grace and conviction, deeply rooted in the gospel. Register now at tpusafaith.com/believers. I'll see you there.
Fulfill the law and prophets.